because it was Ramadan, and he couldn't, you know, he's Muslim, so he couldn't be eating at a regular hour, and he definitely couldn't be drinking, and he did both. So he got us in his car, and we went to some little restaurant outside of Beirut, had a very nice time. I probably still have his name. And then we came back to the fancy hotel, and I think he was staying there, and we were just sitting on the steps, the three of us, and a doorman came out and said something to him in Arabic, and he said to us, Beirut is going to be bombed tomorrow. We all need to get out of here. So we went right to the airport, and sure enough, it was.
Oh,
it was
my God.
The Palestinian thing.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. I know.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was just a few crazy things like that.
Why was Pakistan so bad?
People were mean. We were in, is it Kabul?
Yeah.
You could just tell they didn't like us.
Yeah.
And they were kind of hostile, and nobody was helpful. It just had such a horrible vibe to that city.
Yeah.
So instead of staying there and trying to find a place, we went back to the airport and slept in the airport until we could get on a plane and get out.
Wow. It wasn't anything like Myanmar, though. No, like, near-death experience.
No, it was just like, ooh, let's get out of here.
Were you, like, on a train from one place to another?
Yes. We were going from the main, Burma was the name of the country then, right?
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of the main city where the airport is and everything.
Mandalay?
I don't feel like that was it, but
there, maybe.
That's maybe where we were headed. There was some beautiful little place up here somewhere. I thought it began with a P. It was kind of in that direction. I don't think it was that pin, whatever. But anyway, that's where we were going, on this train. And this train was, the windows were wooden, you know, like when the train moved, the windows had to come down. And when the train stopped, you could push them up to get some air in there.
Oh, my God.
And then people would be selling stuff. Yeah. You know, that's how you got food.
Is it like a cattle car train? Like, were there seats in
there? There were benches where you sat like this. There were people everywhere, including the aisles.
Yeah.
And in the back was this little hole for the bathroom.
Yeah.
So that's where you had to go, and there wasn't a door or anything.
Oh,
and you're climbing over people who are cooking in the aisle.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, I don't know if I can do this, Tim. But, you know, what choice did we have? And then the train stopped, and that was the end of it. And they had uncoupled our car, we found out.
Oh, my God.
And the rest of the train went on.
And where did you get on the train? Was it like Chiang Rai?
In the main city.
Okay, in Myanmar.
Burma.
So, yeah, you must have been going to like this airport?
We weren't even going to an airport. We were going to some beautiful little village in the mountains or whatever that we read about in All Asia Guide. And when we got off, we were in the middle of, we didn't know where we were. And that's when these guys were there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember after that how we got back on that train.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What did you do?
We went back to the main city in Burma and, you know, went to the airport. And people were, it was probably like a lot like today, trying to get out of the country because it's a horrible country.
Yeah.
You couldn't even get up to the door to the airport, but we were Americans. So we could go up and get in front of everybody and get out of there.
Wait, okay, so the train, you take this train from Mandalay.
No, it wasn't. Is that the main city?
Yeah, that's the main capital of
Myanmar. That's where we must have been.
To some place. And then just like at some point you stop, like during the day or at night?
No, it was at night.
At night, you stop and your car gets uncoupled.
Yeah.
And eventually you just like probably realize,
what's going on here?
Yeah.
And we realize it's just sitting there alone. And then we get off. We meet these two men, young, with bayonets, who are just harassing us. And I don't know why they left us alone, but they did. So I think we must have just waited there for the next train to come and take us back.
Oh, my God. Were the two guys with bayonets, like, involved with
military?
Okay.
They look like military.
Were they involved, do you think, in, like, your train being uncoupling and, like, harassing you because you were getting out? Or they just, like, happened to
be
there?
I think they just happened to be there.
Okay.
And they were, you know, they were leaving me alone. It was Tim. They'd be nudging him and, you know.
With their bayonets.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, yuck. I know.
Were they, like, drunk, do you think? Or, like...
They could have been. I don't even remember that.
Oh, my God. That's so scary.
It was really scary. It was like, oh, no, they're going to rape me. They're going to kill him. Rape me. Drag me off somewhere.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you thought past the rape part then to how they'll drag you off afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, so that was it. And then by the time we got to Europe, we went everywhere, but we were so ready to go home. We didn't even like...
Yeah.
You know, you've seen one museum, you've seen them all. It's just like, let's get out of here.
So where... I'm just like putting this all together in my mind... So you started from Darwin.
Yeah.
And did the boat thing. Where did you take the boat to? Like,
No. We got off the boat at Darwin.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Didn't you start the boat in like Easter Island or something? So you went from Australia
to... Easter Island. It was Thursday Island.
Thursday Island.
It was
Island,
just
right.
off
okay.
of Cairns.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere. And we got it on that boat. We got as far as Darwin. And then we got off, and then we started flying. We got the plane ticket, and
we flew. Okay, so you went from Cairns to Thursday Island.
To meet our boat.
Okay.
Which was, you know,
months late. Okay, so you made it that far. Got it. From, like, essentially...
Thursday Island to Darwin.
To Darwin.
Yeah.
Okay. It took months to get the boat.
Oh, yeah, the boat was so late. So Trish, Jean-Pierre, Tim, and I had to live in this little tiny camper trailer. It was all we could afford.
Yeah.
Little teeny tiny camper trailer.
Thursday Island?
No, on Cairns.
Oh.
And then we got the message, meet us at Thursday Island. So I don't even remember.
How did you get the message? Cause
from Captain Percy somehow. Yeah.
Have you ever contacted Captain Percy?
No, we should have known right away when it was so late. And, you know, on the way over to Australia to live, we did kind of the opposite. We went through the Philippines and all that, and we went through Papua New Guinea. Yeah, that was really great.
So, how long were you in Papua New Guinea?
I don't know, probably a couple days. We couldn't afford that much, but we stayed... Some nice little, you know, place in Port Moresby. And
what were you doing for money?
We had sold all our wedding gifts and used that money to get to Australia.
Yeah.
And then when we were in Australia, we both worked full time. Tim worked as a dentist during the day. I was his dental assistant in another practice at night. And then I worked all day for this Reggie Cole, who was an industrial relations specialist. We worked for Newgate. And Newgate was a company that made all the toilet bowls. So we kind of fly to Melbourne and fly to Adelaide to see. And he hired me because I was white. I was really different. And Newbold was having all these strike after strike. And their population of workers were immigrants, and just like me.
Oh.
And... So Reggie, they hired
him. Their population of workers were American immigrants, like you?
Yugoslav.
White, beautiful women.
Yeah, Yugoslav, blah, blah, blah. But I think he hired me because I was different, too.
Yeah.
And so he was hired to install worker participation groups in Newbold.
Okay.
And I was the organizer. He was the guy who knew what to do. And I was the one who went and helped organize people and then attended the meetings and facilitated and to explain, you know, this is about sharing the power.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I thought for some reason that the way that you got to Australia or the reason you went there was because, like, they were offering stipends to to foreign workers or something?
Yeah, we did, but you had to stay 2 years to get the money.
Oh, I got it.
And so we had to pay our way over.
Yeah.
And then that's how we got there, with our gifts money. And then we earned money, and we had just enough to kind of get back.
Got it. You didn't stay for the 2 years.
No, that was the problem. Yeah. We saw this ad in the paper. Like, oh, man, we can be crew on this boat. Yeah. Wow. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh. So you didn't make it the 2 years in Australia. You saw the crew thing, decided that sounded more fun.
Yeah.
You should have just, like, kept a mailing address there and been like, yeah, we were there the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so you got on the crew. Tell me the boat story, actually, because I know it, kind of.
Trish and Tim and I, he had this little dinghy on the boat.
Yeah.
And we took the dinghy and we paddled into this, it wasn't even really an island.
Yeah.
But it was just something to do to get off the boat. Paddled into it, and we're kind of sitting there, you know, got off the dinghy and just sitting around. And then we noticed the tide was coming in because we noticed all these baby sharks swimming around. So we thought, okay, we better get out of here. We didn't know a thing about riptides, nothing. So we get in the boat, we start paddling back to our ship, our big boat, and we got caught in a riptide. And the riptide just took us right around the boat to the other side. So the boat was between us and the whole rest of the ocean.
Yeah.
And it took us around. We couldn't go straight to the boat because of this riptide. So we're out on the other side, and thank God for Tim. He was the paddler because he managed to get us back when we saw what was happening to our little island, reef. It was a little reef. And we just rested for a minute, but we couldn't, you know, this tide's coming in, so it kind of was disappearing.
Yeah.
So we go, okay, let's try this again. And we try it again, same thing happens. So that's two times, and now it was getting dark. So Tim paddles us back in, and we're scared now.
Yeah.
And so we're going out for the third time. And there's no communication between us and the boat. Because as we learned through that experience, the radio didn't work.
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, did you have a radio with you?
No. So I guess we couldn't
imagine anyone.
It didn't matter.
But the radio didn't work.
Yeah.
Also.
But John Pierre, at least, and maybe the captain, were watching this. So now we go out again, and we kind of knew this is it. If we don't make it this time, we're so screwed.
Wait, wasn't the captain like, this might be...
This is our last try. So we do it again. There's this huge shark fin right behind me. I was at the end, Tim in the middle, Trish in the front. I look back and see it, and it's like, oh, my God. And it knocked the paddle that Tim had, not out of his hand, thank God, just up in the air. Like, we were like, oh my God, it was a big shark. We could see that.
So, how big?
I think it was very long. Like, I remember it as being very big.
Like longer than 6 feet?
I don't know. I just knew that fin went up to the sky. So It was a good size. It was no baby.
Okay. Like this big? Like
yeah, I would say I would say it was that big.
Okay, okay.
So he's paddling. We get to the boat. Same damn thing. Because the riptide is probably getting worse, not better. Whisks us around to the other side. And we're like, oh, my God. So that's when Captain Percy starts throwing out these unattached white donuts. Like, what? And it was only Jean-Pierre. That was the
Was he, do you think he was, like, smoking, like, on something?
He was just stupid. I have no idea. I think he panicked.
Yeah.
He didn't, he had never had to deal with something like this before.
Yeah.
Jean-Pierre took this big rope, and he didn't have anything on, you know, his chest.
Yeah.
He was bare-chested. He wraps this rope around his chest. And he throws it down, and Trish caught it. And then, you know, slowly handed it back to me, and I hand it back to Tim. So now we all have our hands on the rope.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now we're hanging on the rope. The little dinghy capsizes and goes out to sea. We're hanging on this rope, and it just, it literally took our clothes off. I mean, Tim had our money.
Yeah.
And camera and everything, lost it all.
Oh my God.
But he was able to lock an arm behind him.
Yeah.
And Jean-Pierre, just with the strength. So one by one, we climbed up. First Trish.
Oh my God.
Then me. Then Tim.
That's so crazy.
It's so crazy. And Jean-Pierre was just bloody.
Yeah.
And bruised from this. And that's when we all said, oh my God, we are getting off this the minute we can.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, so Jean-Pierre was like, was amorous for Andre. Is that right?
I don't think they were even a couple then.
Yeah, but he liked her, or they just were both there at that point.
Well, Andre wasn't anywhere in the picture.
She wasn't. Okay, that's what I was trying to remember.
No, he was single, and he was getting away from France.
Oh, okay. Why?
He was just that kind of guy.
Okay. He wasn't, like, being persecuted or anything.
No, no. He just was a wanderer.
Yeah.
And didn't have kids, didn't have a girlfriend. He was kind of like us. Why not?
Yeah.
So he happened to be in Australia, too.
Okay.
And saw the ad.
Yeah.
And signed up. And Trish lived in Australia. Saw the ad.
Got it. Okay. Did he and Trish?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, I think he would have liked it, but Trish was not the least bit interested.
Okay.
So,
crazy. So then you landed, then you got to Darwin. You
then
got
we
off,
got off.
And then you bought the round the world ticket.
Tim and I, Trish got on a different boat.
Okay.
Got a different group of guys. And Jean-Pierre went to South America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you guys got your round trip ticket, your world tickets.
Our
there.
World ticket.
And then you went. Oh, no, you had already done Papua
New Guinea. That already,
So you went, you flew, I'm guessing. From Darwin, did you fly?
And we must, well, yeah, we flew to get to the first stop. I was thinking it was Bali, but it's in all Indonesia anyway.
Where is Bali in here? Isn't
Would be right at the tip somewhere. Such a gorgeous place. And all the native rituals, you know, I remember there was a funeral one day, a procession. They have their beautiful clothes, and it's just an incredible place.
I should, maybe when we're driving.
There it is.
There we go. Maybe when we're driving to Manamita, I'll play the beginning of this Hawaiian Shaman audiobook.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting because they believe that, like, the first civilization, which were called the Mu, lived in Polynesia and Hawaii. Which to me, when I just think about it, I'm like, well, yeah, there are a lot of similarities between Polynesia and the Hawaiian Islands.
Right.
And yet they're like so far.
Yeah.
Hey, that's interesting. Okay, so you did, wait, where did Bali go now?
It's Bali's right there.
Oh, okay. So Bali is...
Might have been the first stop in Indonesia. I can't...
Well, Indonesia's over here.
Yeah, so we did this way. Jakarta, I remember that was gorgeous at the time. I think.
Wait, do you think you did Indonesia first?
I know we
first?
Got to Indonesia. Yeah, it could have been. I
and
can't
then
remember.
Over to Bali and
could
up?
Have been. Yeah.
How long were you in Bali for?
Just everywhere, just a couple days. We okay. couldn't afford to, because yeah. we had to find places to stay.
So you did mushrooms in budget. Someone just yeah. gave you mushrooms. How did you go about doing mushrooms?
I can't remember how we got them. We okay. must have got them from somebody on the beach. We got all kinds of things with the Palestinian and Arab guy. We sat in the Arab guy, big Arab family, oil.
Yeah.
But then a guest house, and that's where he lived. And he was so bad, you couldn't understand him. He spoke English, not the Palestinian, the Arabian.
Yeah.
Just a mess. The Palestinian was so smart, but it was they were smoking stuff
yeah.
all day long in there. And so we were too.
Yeah.
And then I had to take Tim to the hospital.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you spent a couple days in Bali. You did mushrooms, you saw the whale in the ocean.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Did you, like, I hear a lot of people say, went, so both Sean, when I was in 10th grade, I think, and Joe later have both said, like, you must do mushrooms once in your life. Like, and I hear people talking about how it can be a very spiritual experience for them and they feel connected with the whole world. Did you have like that
I
or just
I can't even remember. All I remember is experience. Watching the whale in okay. the ocean that wasn't really there.
Okay.
And that
Dad
was
saw it too.
Yeah, I think so. That was the only time we ever, you know, think, we weren't out seeking any of
yeah,
this. It was just, oh, hey.
Yeah.
We didn't even know what we were trying.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Probably Dad didn't even hear what you said and just said, yeah, when you were like, do you see
who knows?
Okay. So you did Bali, and then you went to Jakarta.
Yeah.
And what happened in Jakarta? You just said, oh, Jakarta was amazing.
We loved it. It's just a beautiful place. Oh, okay. Yeah, everything about
nothing,
it.
Nothing, like, in particular.
No.
Oh, okay.
And but then, we did go through Indonesia and all of that. Singapore.
Singapore, okay. So
Malaysia.
Did you go like Jakarta to Singapore?
Probably. Okay. I can't remember all
and
that.
And then Malaysia, but not Kuala Lumpur?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Okay, so Singapore.
Too bad I didn't keep a diary about this.
I know. Okay.
I think I gave the All Asia Guidebook to Katie because I hung on to it for years.
Yeah.
It was such a big deal.
Yeah. Okay, the Malaysia, then up to Thailand. You went to Cambodia.
Yeah, I'm not even sure about Cambodia. Thailand, and we went to you know, Bangkok,
yeah.
but then Chiang Mai.
Yeah.
And then into Laos a little bit.
Did you do Chiang Rai, too, or just Chiang Mai?
I think just Chiang Mai.
Wow. I remember I talked to you before I was in Bangkok.
Yeah.
Because I remember you were like, when we went to Thailand, we were in Koh Samui and Phuket, which is like the islands right around here. And then
yeah.
we went up to Bangkok and we did that trek that went, we took a sleeper train from Bangkok to Chiang Mai. We did like a day tour in Bangkok
yeah.
and then took a sleeper train up to Chiang Mai, and then they drove us up to Chiang Rai, I think, and then we hiked up in the hill tribes.
Oh, nice.
Which I thought were in, I mean, they must have been in Thailand. We didn't have to do another passport check.
Right.
I did not realize that we were, like, that far up.
Yeah.
Actually. But anyway, I remember you saying when we were in Phuket, I remember you were like, oh, we really didn't like Bangkok. Like, we didn't leave the hotel, it was really polluted or something like that.
I just remember eating all the street food.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, but no, I didn't think it was anything special. I don't remember not leaving the hotel.
Okay.
Because we would have, because we always stayed in icky
yeah.
places. But
okay, and yeah, I didn't realize that you went to Chiang Mai too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went up to Chiang Mai and then over to Laos. Probably.
We got into Laos. We didn't go far into it. Just enough to see all these people with huge.
Oh, the goiters.
The goiters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. cool. Like, just little village. Yeah. Is, I'm guessing, like, no electricity kind of a thing?
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. I just remember big goiters.
How did you take a train there?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then from Laos to
Burma.
And Burma was where, okay, so you went then to Mandalay, and then that's where you took the train to
some little place that was supposed to be beautiful.
And almost died.
Yeah.
How was Myanmar? Did you, like...
No, it was so full of people. No, I mean, it was not a place you'd go to visit. You'd just get the hell out of there. It just was nothing attractive.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
And so that, and then that's where on the way back you ran into, like, everyone was trying to leave.
Yeah.
And then you went, well, Bangladesh, what year was this? Because...
back in the...
70s?
Late.
Okay, okay. Because Bangladesh didn't even become a country till 1973.
Yeah.
So it was around, presumably, but you didn't go there.
Right.
You went then... Did you go to Bhutan?
Nope.
Okay.
We did Nepal. We did India.
Was it... Did you go from Myanmar to Nepal?
Can't remember. Could have been, or we could have gone India.
Okay.
You know, we spent a little time in India, just... Okay. Getting out of New Delhi, seeing Taj Mahal, doing all that. Yeah.
And then Nepal. Where did you go in Nepal?
We started in Kathmandu.
Oh, cool.
And then we did a hike, like a 7-day hike with our backpacks.
Just the two, that you read in your book?
Just the two of us. And it was like a Himalaya trek, but it wasn't up, you know, to the...
Yeah.
And... I remember on that trek, you know, I remember it was a lot of rain. And at one point, a local woman, wanted to give us her baby because her baby was really sick.
Oh.
And we didn't...
That happened to me in Bangladesh.
Did it?
Multiple times.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, take my, you know, and I'm like, they're better off here, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. And then we got rained out somewhere where we were camping.
Yeah.
And so Tim was packing...
Did you have a tent with you?
Yeah, Tim was packing everything up, and I hiked up to this little house, you know, a little mud hut. Because we were trying to cook our rice, and we couldn't cook our rice. And I brought my rice up and kind of signaled, can we, you know, cook our rice on your... And they were great, and... And then eventually Tim must have come. Or maybe, I can't remember if I hiked back down with cooked rice or what. But anyway, we ended up sleeping there on these mats. And
somewhere in Nepal?
Somewhere in this little hut.
Okay.
They asked us if we, because it was just pouring rain. And these young girls, they just, you know, they'd go up to Tim and, you know... Oh, Tim, let's get out of here.
Wait, like they wanted to have sex with
him? I think so. I couldn't
Do you think they were like trying to get money?
No, no. They were part of the family. Okay. They were part of the family.
Weird.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, yeah, obviously they weren't trying to like solicit him for money if you're with him. I don't know. Who knows?
No, wow. It wasn't about money.
Okay. So you left. They wanted to have sex with dad.
Yeah,
Dad didn't want to have kids in Nepal.
Right.
And so then you left because you got jealous, extremely jealous.
Exactly.
And then where did you
I go? Think we finished our trek, actually, and went back to Kathmandu, and then...
How was Kathmandu?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
We both loved it.
Wait, was that where, like, you guys were, had hashish, there were, like, pies that
there's
had hashish in them or something?
There's hash houses everywhere.
Yeah.
Where you eat.
Yeah.
And that was, I didn't have to take Tim to the hospital, but I thought I was going to. Because he just... He had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
He was so out of it.
Was he, dad, like, were you guys both doing kind of a lot of drugs? Or just, like, when people would give you stuff?
No, just when it was convenient and somebody would say, hey, you know, go to this hash house. Or maybe somebody took us there.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Because I'm wondering, like... I get really sick when I have marijuana at all. And it used to be even if I smell it.
Yeah.
Like, I would get really sick. And I'm wondering, like, if that was... Or it was just, like, a bad...
I think it was the stuff we were having, okay. And I you were could fine tolerate it, yeah, and he couldn't.
Wow. So you just went back to your hostel or wherever you were staying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And didn't have to take him to the hospital. For some reason, I thought you did.
Well, that happened in Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
that's
okay.
When
okay.
I had to take him to the hospital, and the guy, I said, oh, we think he has, what's a disease, mosquitoes?
Malaria.
I think he has malaria, and the doctor came in and looked at him and goes, yeah, when he's better, you can leave.
Oh, my God.
Because he knew right away.
Yeah.
But he let Tim lay there.
Okay, so you Kathmandu, then...
Our little hike around.
Then
and
you're
then
hiking Nepal.
India, and then probably Pakistan.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. So then India, then... Were you in Uttar Pradesh at all?
Where?
Uttar Pradesh, India, right out of New Delhi.
I don't remember any of that. I know the place we really wanted to see was Taj Mahal, and
okay.
we did.
In New Delhi.
And I know we traveled a bit in okay. India, but it was super hot.
Okay.
Super hot and humid.
I think Niraj is from Uttar Pradesh.
Boy, I can see why you don't get your work done.
I know.
God.
Okay, so then you did Pakistan.
Yeah.
And you just didn't really like...
Karachi is where we were.
Oh, in Pakistan?
Yeah,
oh, Karachi. Cool. Okay. But didn't like it. Oh. Nobody was nice to you.
No, people were mean.
And then... Where?
We didn't go to Iran. We could have, because it wasn't a bad country. And we didn't go to Afghanistan, and we could have. We just... I think that's when we did... The trip to Kuwait or wherever.
Okay, so you flew then to Kuwait.
Yeah.
And then stayed in... And was that where you met the rich
the
guy?
The two guys.
Okay, okay. And was that where Dad got sick?
Yeah.
Okay. So you
and the guy, the Arab guy... I mean, I remember we went in and ate with their family. And I could tell their parents weren't terribly comfortable with all of this.
Yeah.
But... You know, I woke one of the young guys up and said, I got to think Tim is really... He just gave me his car. And I somehow managed to get to the hospital in his car. I think back on that, like, there was no GPS.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Do you think, like... I'm just curious, like... So I know...
Could have been Dubai.
Okay.
But Dubai back then wasn't Dubai now.
Yeah.
It could have been. It was either Kuwait or Dubai.
Okay. Do you think they were being nice to you? Like, I know a couple of Saudis. Well, I mean, Badr, obviously. But, like, I know a couple of different Saudi people who have said, in Boulder, actually, who have said, like, it's a really big cultural difference. Like, in Saudi Arabia, if there's someone on the street, like, that doesn't happen. You take care of, like, anyone,
no
matter what.
Oh, I think these were two young guys who spotted two Americans, because they even said, oh, are you Americans? Where are you staying? We don't know yet. We're figuring, no, come with us. I think it was just that.
Okay.
Just being friendly and kind of interested.
Yeah. Not like you were American, they maybe want money or anything.
No,
like
not
that.
At all. Okay. That Arab family had so much money.
Okay. They were just interested that you were American.
Yeah, they didn't, you know, this was back in the late 70s, so
weren't
two people like us
traveling
around like this.
Yeah. So you did Kuwait, Qatar, or no?
No, just one. We just went to one and spent quite a bit of time there.
Okay.
And then when Tim got out of the hospital, we probably said, okay, let's go. Yeah.
Like a week, do you think, or how much?
No, it's probably overnight.
Oh, okay, quite a bit of time. No, I mean, like, how much, when you said we spent quite a bit of time.
No, not a full week, but, you know, we had a free place to stay.
Yeah,
and
nice. Why not?
Yeah.
And then what?
Then we hit the Mideastern countries.
Okay, then Jordan.
Israel and Lebanon, Syria.
What was Jordan like? Like, did you...
I just remember sleeping on the rooftop somewhere.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Were other people sleeping on the
rooftop? Yeah, there was a bunch of us up there.
Were you afraid?
No. I was never afraid during this whole thing, except for Myanmar and Pakistan. It's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
No, we just were too naive to be afraid.
I mean, the other people sleeping on the rooftops.
They were like us.
Oh, like they travelers?
Well, I can't remember that. You know, homeless probably wasn't even a thing then.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was just a place to stay, and somebody must have told us about it.
Okay. Like travelers? Were they like Jordan natives? Or
I don't remember. I'm guessing they were like us. Okay. Backpackers.
Okay.
Tripping around.
Okay. So Jordan, then Cairo.
Yeah, Israel.
Israel.
And then...
Oh, cool.
Probably Cairo.
Okay.
And then...
Is that Muslim predominantly?
What?
Jordan, Israel, Cairo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Israel, Jewish.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And Cairo, definitely Muslim, not African.
Okay.
Then we saw... the Great Pyramids and all of that. We managed to get to all of that somehow.
Was that amazing?
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't believe that many millions or whatever years ago they could build the pyramids.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's how many are? Three, four of them?
three maybe?
Yeah. Were there, tours and stuff at that point?
You know, there were people there like us, but none of this was touristy.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't going on then.
Yeah. So it wasn't like you have to pay to blah, blah, blah. No. You just, are there and you're checking it out for yourself.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's not someone being like, here's the history behind it.
No.
Wow.
None of
that's
that.
That's cool. How did you get to the pyramids? Car?
I bet we took a train or a bus or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, we weren't renting cars.
Yeah. I was going to guess hitching a ride. I mean, my next guess would have been camel.
Yeah. We were on camels at some point just as a little touristy thing because I have photos of it.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember. Okay. It was in one of those Mid-Eastern countries.
Okay. So Egypt, did you go down to
Syria? No, we didn't go down.
Okay. And what did you do after Egypt?
I think we probably flew to Greece.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How long were you in Greece? God, this trip just keeps going.
Athens.
Okay.
That was another place we slept on a rooftop. not terribly long, just enough. We didn't go out to the islands. We just enough to see Athens. It was just... at that point, we were kind of, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do the next thing and the next thing and let's just go.
Yeah. How you probably were getting a little bit traveled out at
that
point.
Yeah, totally.
And, the novelty was it's okay, we got
it. And Europe especially is boring, I think.
I mean, compared to what you have.
Not Asia.
When you were in Athens, everything I hear about Greece from people who have been there is, amazing hospitality and, Mediterranean. Did you,
Well, it was a different time. We were backpackers. We'd go into a bar to nobody was coming up to us in Greece saying, do you want to come stay with us?
Okay.
But somebody must have said, if you need a place to stay, there's a rooftop here.
Okay. So it wasn't wow, people in Greece, your impression wasn't the Greeks are so hospitable, kind of in Minnesota, people would be like, oh, Minnesota, nice.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Interesting.
No.
Okay, so Greece, then...
I think we must have gone right to Italy. We didn't do any of the Slovakian countries. We didn't do Romania. I think we went to Italy. I remember taking a train.
Where do you...
Wherever we landed, probably Rome, and then a train to Florence, and then...
So the only ship or boat... ocean passage you did was the from Thursday Island to Darwin, and then you were like, we're done with that. Smart.
Yeah.
God, really, after watching that movie, really smart. Okay, so Rome.
Florence, I remember, because that's where I was I'm just not interested in. Because, there's all the big...
Yeah, the...
archaeological, And we did all that. And then there's...
You mean just like the mausoleum type
Yeah,
stuff?
All of that yeah, okay. stuff.
Did you see the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Yep, we saw it. Cool. We saw it.
But it just was like checked.
Yeah, it kind of got to be, I just yeah. done. Yeah. I don't need to see anymore.
Yeah. And then what did you do?
I think on that trip we did go to Monaco.
Okay.
I know we've been there.
Okay.
I can't remember if that was a different time, but I think we went to Monaco, which was very nice.
Is Monaco France or Italy?
It's a good question. I think it's its own independent little place. I'm not sure. And then maybe at that point we went to France.
Okay. And like Paris or?
Yeah.
And obviously you didn't hook up with Jean-Pierre because he wasn't there.
No, he wasn't anywhere to be found.
Okay. And nothing.
And then I think from Paris we might have flown home.
Okay. Interesting. And then when you flew home, you flew back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then did you guys just work in Minnesota? Was that before Oklahoma?
No, Oklahoma came before anything.
Oh, okay.
We moved to Oklahoma, then we went to Australia, then we did all this.
Got it.
And then we came back and...
So Oklahoma must have been before you were married?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Right after.
Okay.
Right after.
Okay. You didn't want to blow your wedding presents in Oklahoma?
Well, I think we did. I think we did use some of that money because we sold all our presents before we left Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then we went to Oklahoma. But then we had good paying jobs, both of us. And, you know, so we had enough with all of that to get to, to get to California, we drove. I think we left our car there with Sue and Bob. Can't remember. And then from there, we flew to Hawaii and then Guam, the Philippines, blah, blah, blah. To get to Australia.
Australia. Cool. How long did you take to get in that trip to get to Australia?
I can't remember. Because we'd stop wherever we could and check it out. Yeah.
How was Guam?
Yeah.
How was Guam?
It's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's kind of all the same. The Philippines and Guam, it's hot and dirty and humid and nothing.
Cool.
Too special.
When was... Okay, I just need to connect two more dots. When was it that you, like, went to Florida and, like, didn't you go to Florida with someone?
That was college.
Okay.
We dropped out.
You dropped out?
Yeah. We were both at the U.
Yeah.
We dropped out in our freshman year. And she had a car, and we drove to Florida.
And you worked?
Yeah, we both worked, and we lived right outside of Fort Lauderdale on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do for work?
First, we worked in a restaurant, like a Walgreens with a soda fountain and a menu, and Dana worked behind the soda fountain. And I was a waitress, and that didn't last long. We just hated those jobs. And then we worked in some little beach places, you know, selling little beach things to people. And then we didn't make a lot of money there. We just made enough for our rent. But her step-parents lived there, so... Okay. I think they were helping her out there for us.
Yeah.
You know, we were there maybe 6 months. Okay. And then we were like, we got to get out of here.
And that was when you, like, got invited onto Frank Sinatra's boat or something?
Yeah. Nobody was on there.
What?
No, I don't know. I can't remember that part. Somebody, because we made a connection, and it was really Dana who did it.
Yeah.
This guy really liked her, and then he had his friend. And the friend and I were like, eh. But those two really liked each other. And the guy, whose name I can't remember, worked for the mafia. And he in the horse racing thing.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what he did now.
Yeah.
But so they'd take us to horse races and stuff. And I think it must have been him or somebody he knew.
Yeah.
Who took us on Frank Sinatra's yacht. All we did was look at it because nobody was there.
Okay.
It was like, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was before you met Dad?
Yeah, I think I... Yeah, okay. Definitely before I met Dad.
And then, so you were there, then you went back to Minnesota. Then did you re-enroll at the U? Okay. And then did you meet Dad at the U or in grad school?
No, I was still getting my BA. First, I was living in an apartment, and then I must have left. That's when I left and went to Florida. Then I came back, and I moved into...
In Dinkytown? Living in an apartment in Dinkytown?
Yeah. Okay. And then I moved to Middlebury Dorm.
Okay.
Where Kathy Agee was in Middlebury Dorm, because she had gone to school at Tulane. But
okay.
She only lasted a year. So she was at Middlebury, so I got a room at Middlebury right next door.
Did you know her from high school, or
yeah,
is that how you met?
No,
okay,
high school.
Okay.
And then that's how I met Dad.
Okay.
I met him through another guy that I knew.
What isn't... You were dating some other guy.
Not really dating him. I was actually dating a
different
guy.
Oh, yeah, okay. And yeah. It was like an ex-boyfriend and Dad came around? Tell me this.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call Chris Peterson Dad's friend an ex-boyfriend. He was just somebody I knew.
Okay.
And they came to my room late at night, knocked on the door, and I was going... skiing early in the morning with this other guy and this group of people.
Yeah.
We were getting up early and we were going somewhere here in Minnesota. So
the Afton Alps.
Yeah, no, it was a little better than that, but it was up north somewhere. So they knocked and they were both drunk and I just said, you can't come in. I got nothing to say to you.
Yeah.
Close the door.
Yeah.
And that was that. And then Dad called.
Oh, cute.
And apologized.
Was that the first time he had met you, do you think? Or like,
We might have met in the Newman Center on campus because during that freshman year or maybe after, I can't remember, we used to play a lot of bridge. My high school friends and I would meet there and sit and play bridge when we should have been in class.
Okay.
And I think I met Tim once at Newman Center.
God, I wish I would have asked him about this.
Like
if he like met you and then like figured out a way to connect, you know, and it was like intentional that he was drunk at your door
No.
Okay.
No, I think he was out with his buddy Chris Peterson and I think Chris knew I lived in Middlebury, and, you know, I think it was purely random.
Do you think it was kind of like, I remember when I was at St. Olaf, like, part of, I think, why Adie and I got to be such good friends at St. Olaf was just purely, like, we knew each other.
Yeah.
It was kind of that type of a thing.
With Dad?
With Chris Peterson. Like, why was he showing up drunk at your door?
Oh, he was that kind of a guy.
Okay.
You know, he could be very charming. And I think at one point I thought, oh, wow. But, you know, he would have been a guy who went out with all kinds of people.
Yeah,
not to be trusted at all.
I wonder how Dad knew him or got...
I think from St. Paul. They were all St. Paul guys.
Oh, okay. So
maybe
Dad,
St. Rose.
Got it. Okay. So Dad knew him from like high school or something. Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Dad showed up the next day with flowers.
Not the next day, no.
Because you went to your
ski trip. I was gone.
I
left for the weekend skiing. I got back and sometime later that week he just called.
Okay.
And he apologized.
That's really cute.
Yeah. And then... I don't know, we must have decided to go on a date, which was me sitting on the curb of a sidewalk watching Tim work on his little MG.
Oh my God.
That was, our dates were either that or we'd meet at Deal Hall on campus and study. Or we'd meet at, Dad worked in the mortuary. We'd meet at the mortuary and we'd study, and I'd look at all the brains, and he had to be there in case somebody came in that he had to cut open.
Was he in dental school by that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, my God. He didn't, your first date was not like, he did not take you out to dinner.
No,
he was like,
he never,
here, watch me perform on my car.
He didn't give me flowers.
Oh, my God.
None of
he
that.
Didn't? I thought he did. I thought he, like, showed up to apologize with flowers.
No.
No. Okay, it was just a phone call.
Just a phone
and
call.
And would you like to watch me car?
Something like that. Okay. I don't even think that happened right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then somewhere in there, he was he running at the U? Because I thought you said you started running because you would
because,
like...
Because that was another date we'd go on.
Yeah.
We'd go over to the field house. He'd work out because he was on the track team at the U.
Even during dental school?
Somewhere in all of that.
That okay.
But, you know, I might have met him before he got to dental school.
Okay.
I think
okay.
I did.
Okay.
No, I doubt he ran track at dental school. I think
yeah,
he was
I don't
still...
think he can.
Regular.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then I'd just be sitting there studying and I'd think, I can do that.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up.
Right.
Yeah, I can do this.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then when did, he didn't propose to you till like years.
I think it was 2 to 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Later.
For some reason, I thought it was way longer than that.
No.
Okay.
No.
How did he propose to you?
He just... It was Christmas morning, and he just pulled a ring out.
Oh, that's so uneventful.
I know. Very uneventful.
Was that the Christmas morning that you woke up parked in all the poinsettias in South America somewhere? When was that?
What?
Didn't you? Dad told me one time, I think, that you had one Christmas where you were in like Mexico, Central
yeah.
or South America driving. Was that before the whole Australia thing?
No, that came later. That's when we did Central America.
Okay.
I think. We took a... Maybe that's when we did the... We drove to Sue and Bob's, left our van. No, because we took our van all the way down the Baja. Then we put it on a... You know, one of those carrier things.
Yeah.
That crosses over into Mexico. And then we drove from Mexico to Costa Rica. But we spent a Christmas day or night in Guadalajara.
Okay.
And that was just memorable.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that was when you just parked somewhere and woke up.
We just parked and we did that the whole way down. We didn't stay anywhere but in our van.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so that was before Australia?
No, that was after.
That was after. Okay. So
yeah.
It went.
We came back. We both worked. And then we said, okay,
got
now
it,
we have
it.
A little money, let's do this.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you met, you married, you lived in Minnesota for a while. No, you married, then you moved down to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because you both found jobs there.
I'm yeah.
assuming you hadn't been waiting your whole life to live in Oklahoma.
Right.
Then you like made enough money in Oklahoma and decided to do the Australia thing.
Yeah.
You saw an ad in the paper.
Yeah.
Did that, did the whole trip, got back. Then lived in Minnesota?
Came back to Minnesota, both worked for a little while.
Okay.
And then decided to...
Do the South America trip.
Yeah, well, actually, it was supposed to be South America. It was to drive to the Panama Canal. I don't know how we were going to get across. I can't remember that because... But we never got to Panama. There was something going on that we couldn't get there. So we just turned around.
Got it.
Costa Rica and came back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And was that, was the middle Minnesota trip or after then when you started working at the Stillwater prison?
Dad did. I never did.
Oh, okay. And, but that was after you got back from
Central America.
Okay. What did you do then?
What did I do then?
Is that when you went into probation?
Yeah, I think I was always... My first job back was the bank. I was a efficiency analyst, and I hated working at a bank. So that didn't last long. I quit. And I think from there I was like a specialist of some kind, a treatment specialist or something at a group home.
Okay.
In Minneapolis for juveniles.
Okay.
And I worked for them for a while, and then I saw how cushy those probation officer jobs were, and I thought, that's what I want to do. So that's how I got into it.
Cool. And then you were a probationer for years, and then just like...
kind of moved up the chain, yeah. Ran it, and then went over to Department of Corrections.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Anything notable about working in probation in Minneapolis?
No, it was St. Paul, actually, oh, Ramsey County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything notable?
No, it was a great job. Yeah. I loved every minute of it.
Cool.
You know, I'd get in my car, I'd go visit the kids, and I'd go into their homes. And
juvenile. You were a juvenile probation.
I was juvenile.
Got it.
JPO. Yep. Go visit them at school, go see them at home, get to know their parents who, you know, sometimes really recognized how I could be of value to them, and others who are like, we don't even want to talk to you.
Yeah. What do you mean recognize how you could?
Well, you know, it was even at that time, it was black.
Yeah.
And mostly, I mean, a few white kids, but mostly black. And here I am, this young white woman. And the kids really, for the most part, liked me a lot because I was a good person. I wasn't like out to get them. I was trying to, you know, I'm going to have to bring you back to court. If you keep, we got to figure something out.
Yeah.
And I would be that way with their parents. I would say, you can use me. I can be the bad guy for you. But, you know, your kid's going to end up getting in deeper and deeper if we don't figure out how to put a stop to it. And some parents really embraced that and knew it was helpful.
Yeah.
And then others were like, we're criminals too. Get out.
Yeah,
of here.
I was just going to ask, like, what percentage of parents were like invested? Because I would imagine, just kind of from what you've told me about the like prison pipeline and like the kind of like, you know, I would assume that most of the parents were like, they were brought up with like a not great upbringing and they really didn't care about their kids.
I think they all cared in retrospect.
Yeah.
Parents care.
Yeah.
But these are impoverished, some of them. Single moms. They're working. How many jobs? They just don't
have the resources.
They don't have the ability to supervise their kids.
Yeah.
So their kids would get suspended from school and sent home in those days.
Yeah.
And it was like, why are you doing that? That's exactly where they want to be. And there's nobody there to supervise them.
Well, probably would you say, like, just because the teacher can't handle it, so they're like, I don't have the resources to handle this problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's actually the teachers were the ones who would call on the probation officers, because I would get to know every school
And
that was fine. I preferred that.
Yeah.
They were much better than the parents. The parents, it was just a percentage that would actually call me and say, can you help me?
Yeah.
Because they didn't want their kids going back to court.
For sure.
They just wanted their kids to behave.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of us could really do much about that.
Yeah. So the system kind of was like, when there's a problem kid in school, they're sent home. And then if it's a big enough problem, it's escalated and probation is called. And then you're doing, so it's kind of like social work.
Yeah. Or...
What would the problems be? Like a ADD, ADHD type kid, or like the kid has drugs
runaway,
at school? Okay, got it.
Doesn't.
So like if the kid doesn't show up for a number of days, got it.
Runs away from home, doesn't show up at school, doesn't come home until late at night, is using drugs, all of that.
Got it. What age kids?
Well, you can't get in the system. At that time, you had to be 14, and you age out at 18. So
okay.
It's 14 to 18. Yeah.
What percentage of the families had, like, drug use going on at home or were,
I think a large part. Okay. You know, the thing about probation is you have no authority over the parents. None. You only have authority over the kid.
Interesting.
So, you know, parents aren't obligated to do one thing, and they certainly aren't going to tell me, but I could see it.
Yeah.
I just knew.
I would think, I'm sure, like, this isn't maybe something that, like, these families would be thinking through, but, like, I would think that would actually be really beneficial that you're as a juvenile, because you can be like, look, like, I don't care what you're doing. You know, like, you can tell me that you're murdering people and I can't do anything about
that.
Well, if you're doing illegal drugs or whatever, I have no jurisdiction over that. I'm just here for your kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I represented authority.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the only reason they'd even open the door and let me in the first place.
Yeah.
And that trust thing was huge.
Yeah.
You know, and some people, and it was single parents, there were some that would, they learned to trust me because yeah. I always did what I said I'd do. I always showed up. You know, I'd be the one, and I'd always talk to them. I'd say, you know, I have to violate your kid here. I can't. Because that was my job. If you don't follow your curfew, I have to bring you back into court.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, to the parents, I'll give you as much rope as I can, but at some point.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, now I'm like, after George Floyd and stuff, there's so much like anti, you know, police sentence. Did you like experience that at all?
No, I just could tell that I knew the criminal families even by their last names. And I had a couple of their kids. And right away, you know, oh my God. And I'd go into the pair. I could remember this one woman was sort of running the show. And they would just play with me.
Yeah.
You know, they just like, here's this naive white person.
Yeah.
And we're just going to play with her.
Yeah. Like what? Like how?
Oh, you know, I can't even remember how they do it, but it was like, I'm not going to be mean to you. I just, you know, I'm just going to say this stuff and just wait for you to leave. And then there were others where I could tell there was abuse going on with a dad, and they just were sit at that table and just wait for me to go. I mean, they wouldn't do anything
react. That'd be so hard.
Yeah.
With like the wives too.
I can remember this one family. You could just tell.
Yeah.
And she was going along with it because, you know, that's what people did in those days. Yeah. They had to, and they still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
There's another thing I was going to ask, but now I don't remember. Yeah. Do you think it helped that you were a woman?
I think it made me a nicer person because I, you know, I wasn't coming in as the big badass and you guys.
Like you were a little, or
I think I was softer with it, but.
I was going to ask more like you were a little bit of a minority too, but
no, I'm sure they didn't see it that way. Yeah. I'm sure every one of them just thought white woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And young. She doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well,